Tonight we're going to talk about something that I haven't talked about a great deal. And in fact, I don't ever remember talking about it in terms of a separate subject. And don't take your guitar away. We're going to sing most of the night.
Yeah, but I mean, are we going to...
No.
We're not going to write down anything?
No.
I've already got this someplace.
The idea what we're going to talk about is ecstasy, but not the drug. We've talked about happiness and joy and all that kind of stuff. And we've said before that joy is your rightful heritage. But it's more than that. Your rightful heritage is ecstasy. And ecstasy is a process of being so completely involved or caught up in something, someone else or something else's worth, that you've totally lost sight of yourself. An ecstasy is something that can't be talked about in terms of intellectual understanding. But it's your heritage. The Bible calls that state praise. Now, the reason we haven't talked about it before is because there's nothing in the world that makes me sicker than praise by liturgy. Or praise, okay, it's time, everybody raise your hands. Or let's just praise the Lord. And through the aspect or through the soul power of the group, you can engender this phony praise. I hate it. It's the same kind of praise that's manipulated, that's so manipulatable, if that's the word. You can get it, you can get its counterfeit at rock concerts or at any group gathering. It's simply the manipulation of the soul power of the body or the group. There's only one place that you can praise God and be caught up in that ecstasy. And that's after the temple has been measured and the court of the Gentiles has been left out. So that in you there's no more Gentile left. And then at that point, God inhabits the praises of Israel. At that point, praise becomes your reason for existence. But praise without repentance, praise without turning from self, is an abomination unto God. It's fire without heat. It's phony. And there's a world of phoniness. There's a thousand times that I've wanted to talk about praise to you. And its meaning and why it's such an important part. What it is. To experience that praise, to experience that state of ecstasy. But as long as that state was generated by liturgy, or generated by the soul power of the group, it's meaningless. That's another reason that in the Spirit, the reason a body of believers had to be at least 10, but no more than 20, is because 20 people, you cannot engender to that group soul power. It takes a larger group of people to engender soul power. You understand what I mean by soul power?
Yeah.
It's something that originates in the heart of man rather than the heart of God. I want you, I pray that you desire that state of ecstasy, that state of praise. It's not an act of being, it's a state of being. And in that state of being, you don't praise 1 minute and complain the next. That proves that you were never in the state of praise to begin with. Do you understand me? Mm-hmm. From God's standpoint, if you can praise Him 1 minute and complain the next, you weren't praising Him. Now, kind of a neat sounding word. Ecstasy to our language is a better sounding word. For some of you, ecstasy is a real good sounding word. Praise in the Spirit is that state of being immediately prior to your having a sexual climax. It's a state of being, not an act of being. And in the Spirit, you can't praise without knowledge. You can't praise without having been tested.
Amen.
Now, some of you came from a charismatic background in the church. And you'd go to churches and there would be a liturgy of praise. And they'd tell you when to praise, when to raise your hands, when to sing, it was a whole liturgy that you went through. And some of you long for that liturgy to be extant because it was a... When you're in a state of praise, even if it's a phony state, you're outside of yourself. You can forget your miserable self. And that's why most of you who came from that wanted it all these years. It could be an opiate by which you would not have to pick up the cross. Am I communicating? Mm-hmm. But now it's time to praise Him in knowledge. There's nothing else worthy of praise. It's interesting. Praise and worship are always synonymous. Worship meaning give importance to, give breath to is what you worship. Now all of us have found out there's nothing else worthy of worship. And so we've done this dumb thing, just like Abraham did. We've gone around and we say, I'm not going to do that anymore. And at the end, we're left with only God. But if we're left with only God, then by definition, we're left with only praise and worship. Now, again, I say to you, some of you are constructed emotionally, intellectually, so that your reason for existence, you don't know it yet, but your reason for existence is to pray. In a body, each part of the body has a different function. Now, some of you felt like a fifth wheel. Spare tire. You thought you were necessary, but nothing really ever real happened to you. You were always an observer. Doesn't matter what your outward personality is. In a body, in a spiritual body, it's more than likely that your office is praise and ecstasy. It doesn't matter what you have thought about anything thus far. Once you've tasted it, you can never, ever, ever again do anything else. I have no doubt that my office in the body, I have no doubt what my office in the body is. There is absolutely nothing in the world that I could do besides this. Once I tasted it, it was impossible to do anything else. So with you and this. Doesn't matter whether you can sing or not. Your praise becomes, or your state of ecstasy, your state of being, becomes more necessary at this point than I am. Otherwise the body will die. Doesn't matter whether you're musically inclined or not musically inclined. It doesn't matter whether you're articulate or not articulate. There's a stirring deep within your soul that can only be satisfied if you are in that state of praise. Doesn't matter if this is the first or second or third time you've ever been here. Nothing else in the universe can meet that need. And the body will die without you. Peace. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Some of you are still in a stupid position of blaming yourself for yourself.
Can you say that some of you are stupid?
It's my job. I mean, can you think of anything dumber than to blame yourself for yourself? I mean, we're talking major stupidity. Of course, none of you here do that.
Yeah.
Who would be that?
We're intelligent human beings. Reasonable.
As Doug would say, well, just in case some of the others might.
Some of them might be doing something. I think you
I blame myself for this going on.
Yeah, of your brother, it's really good.
I blame myself.
But stop it.
Why?
Up to this point. Now, you couldn't have existed unless you blamed yourself.
Not really existed.
You couldn't have survived unless you blamed yourself. You understand me?
No, not really. Not really.
I
don't blame your wife.
If you, but you never really do. You can't blame somebody else.
No.
That's only a smoke screen. It's a smoke screen for your own guilt.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to escape the guilt, but the guilt is the original.
Right, you can't blame somebody else. All of you blame yourself for the way you are. And those of you who exist in judgment cover that because you won't or are incapable or have been up to this point of looking at that thing, and so you direct it outward and you judge others. Every time somebody comes up to you at a street corner and runs a red light, or somebody doesn't look like you think they should look, all of a thousand myriad things, you judge them because you're afraid to admit that you blame yourself for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're all of you are without excuse for doing that because you know about the blood. Oh, that doesn't do you any good. You still do it. How do you stop doing?
You know her.
That's right. But I'm not telling you this is going to be the great cure-all for everything, but I guarantee you that once you begin to praise in knowledge, your life will be transformed. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Again, you see, once you begin to praise, then my job goes down the tubes.
If you want a vacation, just ask me.
No, I've served my purpose.
Yeah. We're where we're supposed to be.
You understand?
Yes.
Yeah, I've thought about it many times, and many times, but you know, like when things have been incredible here. There's been revelation, there's been seeing, and I've thought about the idea of being able to praise God and thank Him, but the ability to approach Him, or the right to approach Him, always
escaped.
It always escaped.
It wasn't time. Don't worry about it. Now it's time. How do you know it's time? The furor of praise.
You will praise what you will enjoy.
We have ways of making you happy.
But I'm serious. Once that process takes place in you in knowledge, then my job is gone. The key to it is with understanding. Remember, the seed had to fall into the ground with understanding. And I'm not going to run away. Don't worry about it. or don't be too happy about it.
Whatever our particular response is.
Yeah. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Big time. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now enter into the gates, or his gates, with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. Took Jesus 30 years before he was able to enter into the courts of thanksgiving and gladness and truth. Now, I think you've been here a long time. You think you've had your little problems. But he was 30 years old before sacrifice was accepted. And therefore, before he knew he could praise. Before he knew his was a worthwhile life. Now, worthwhile doesn't, we got so many people here from different, and it doesn't matter what your definition of worthwhile is, but it's, but you have to believe it's worthwhile. Doesn't matter whether anybody else does. But you have to truly believe it, and it has to be tested that you truly believe it. Now Christ, it took him 30 years before that process was complete. Now, you are now, and can now, praise because your life is of worth. Worthwhile. That's a biggie. That's a big time biggie. You are now of worth. Yeah, but you don't know about... Doesn't matter. But I did... It doesn't matter. But I don't know if I believe. It doesn't matter. You are now of worth. An inestimable value to God. Because you know you're of worth, you can enter into the gates thanksgiving, and and into the courts with praise. Amen. Now, the deceiver is going to run, and he's going to run around. The hell freezes over and tell you you're not at work. It's his job.
It's called the deceiver.
But he'll trick you. You know how he'll tell you you're not of worth? For some of you, it'll be a direct frontal attack. He'll tell you you're not of worth. But for others, he'll trick you by saying he's not important. Yeah. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting, or especially interesting in light of a conversation that Darlene and I had here last night or this morning for a reason. And I was trying to tell her that well, we're talking about judgment. I was trying to tell her, you know, how every time I've ever, you know, pointed the finger at someone else, you know, I realized that my own guilt was at least three times, you know, what I was seeing in the other person. You know, and it's not just that, you know, it's not just that it's that much bigger because I'm more aware of my own guilt than the guilt that I see in another, but I claim to have ears to hear. You know, I claim to see, you know, and I should at least allow them to walk in the light. When you see that, it's very difficult to try to judge someone else.
Yeah. This is like the second half of it has staggering implications. Because, I mean, the first half, it's the first time I ever talked to you, or maybe the second one. You know, all the stuff I thought was important and all the stuff I thought would give me life and had value and everything was like, okay, there's no worth it. There's no value in any of that stuff. And it's like, okay, this has staggering implications. But this is the flip side of that. You know, I mean, it's the, you know, the stuff that has real value. You know, and that has staggering implications too.
I feel like this is really the time for this because Tabernacle the other night is like, I've been trying to figure out since then what it was I was longing for. And, this is it. You know, it's the 3 days of, you know, celebration of real ecstasy and real praise and dancing on your thumbs and stuff like that.
Right. It's neat. When I went to my dad's wedding, I went to church with him the next Sunday. They was charismatic. And I was one of those that used to think, well, I'd like to have more praise. And I sat in that Sunday, and it was exactly what you said, and I saw it so clearly because there was no knowledge. It was like without the knowledge, there couldn't be the praise. It was so neat. It's so neat you're sitting here saying that.
Anybody else, what's going on with you? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Do we have the songbook? I want to read a couple things, and then I want us to sing Psalm 117, but let Jackie sing. I mean, get her go way up.
Let Jackie go way up. We won't restrain her. She's
watching this now. Sing.
This has nothing to do with this. Let's go.
I'll make it.
Hey, John, before you quit tonight, would you put 15 in the chat?
Sure. I'll play tomorrow night, especially for you.
Sure.
You put a dollar in your pizza tonight. Sure. Especially for you. Hear my name. Say it.
You know, you've all heard me talk 10 billion times about that everything you have received every habit pattern, every manner of life, every value system that you have, you've received from somebody. There's no part of you that is uniquely you, save that part which is about to be released. Every other thing about you has been either in response as an action or a reaction to the stimulus of those around you. You must know by now that almost everything there is about you has been received by the traditions of your fathers. And you receive it even if you've rejected it. In other words, your rejection of it gave it breath, gave it importance. That's why the counterculture movements and the generation gaps of every generation have always just been still that which is received by tradition. And so the idea of knowing who you are is really, really, really very rare. Now, I pray that I haven't given you anything. My prayer is that I've only destroyed the false things. I pray that I haven't told you what to do or how to do something or how to act or how to be. That's been my biggest worry of life, that I would somehow impart to you a way of being. That's not my business. Here's our hope. If you call on the Father, now, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain manner of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you, and who by him do you believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be exclusively or only in God. Seeing then that you have cleansed your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and all envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now you also, as lively stones or alive stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall never be confounded or ashamed. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, the stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But not so with you. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, created that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which in times past had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's sing Psalm 117. Even your mind. The mystery which God hath hid from all generations has been revealed unto you. The mystery which scientists and philosophers and kings have spent their lives and their treasures searching for has been given to you with no effort on your part. Now, praise and knowledge is your heritage, that you might show forth the praises of Him who hath delivered you out of that kingdom of darkness into light.
Amen.
Sing that one, let's break it together.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun,
Spirit of tabernacles, where everything that was not of you was left outside the door. The chaff has been scattered. And that new seed within each one of us lies still at rest. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, I see the crack and the dam in this body. That water just pushing at it. The living water that's pushing through and exploding the dam in each one of us. The stream gives no thought to the condition of the water. Rivers of living water with a source that's beyond your comprehension is waiting right behind the wall of everyone. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
though ye be small in number, yea, I say unto you that by my Spirit you shall overcome. Amen. There shall nothing stand in your path. My Spirit shall overcome every and all things that are set in your way. Victory is assured in my name. Go on facing that which is yours. Occupy totally till I come. For my Father has great pleasure in you, thus saith the Lord.
I have not been afraid because I have not known them either. But I keep hearing in my ear, this is my beloved Son indeed.
Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the way to get out there and speak it boldly. But it's a start.
Well, that's our biggest week a lot.
I think got a word for Darlene.
Yes, Lord.
The Lord says, look at the hollow places that I've scooped out in your life. I've scooped out all the channels and the reservoirs that seem like hollowness to you. That I'm filling them right now.
Hallelujah.
Pouring out my Spirit. It'll be a reservoir of life to all those around you.
Hallelujah.
Something like that.
Check the
button. Come forward.
Father, my prayer is that there's nothing we can do without you. I pray that you would show us what it means to praise you, Father.
Yes.
Without apology. You know, you've taught us so often not to trust our own meager things, that we need to see it tested. We might see you as all in all. Now, Father, I pray that you would show us your praise, what it means. Praise your Holy Name. Thank you. Now let the requests, spoken or unspoken, of each one of you, each person, each vessel here tonight, be made manifest. For we delight ourselves in you, Father. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Can everybody take the Afkaman? In a very real sense, what we're about to do with the bread and the wine represents the highest joy that's possible. same night in which he was betrayed. He took the bread and he broke it and he blessed it. And he said, Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth. Bringeth forth the bread of life from each of us, the earthen vessel. That seed, that perfect seed, has fallen into the ground, and we let it come forth. He said, Take, eat, this is my body. By these stripes you are healed. Me too, I'm healed.
Finished.
Took the cup.
Yeah.
He said, You dumb snots. You dumb dorks. You spent all this time trying to make yourself worth something. Now this is the worth because of the covenant. God made a covenant with man. It's like you and I made this wild contract that I had impossible demands made on you. And if either one of us didn't keep the covenant, then one of us would have to die. Be killed. Well, the demands of that covenant were so wild that I couldn't even think about not doing it. But so God knew the covenant was going to be there, and so what he did is we represented in Abraham. He put Abraham to sleep. Then he cut the covenant by himself. And as he cut the covenant by himself, knowing the impossible demands that he just made on Abraham, the man that he just put to sleep, he knew at that point that God himself, he would have to die because of Abraham, because you couldn't meet the needs of the covenant. And so he died. So he was resurrected. So that's a nice fairy tale. Unless he's resurrected in you. And it's not a fairy tale. Then it's life. We're going to drink to that life. We're going to drink to everything being covered in the past, and every need being met in the future. And along the way, you get all kinds of goodies. You get peace and love and joy.
Family.
Amen. The only thing you have to do is be honest.
Daryl finds
business.
In cash? In fast cars?
At a CD player?
With persecution?
He took the cup and he gave thanks. And he said,
Thanks.
Blessed art thou.
Blessed art thou.
O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
He said, This is my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sin. Not remission of some ridiculous religious idea of sin, but sin simply the demand of that covenant. If you didn't make it, if you didn't meet it. Sin being death. So this is a toast to life. What kind?
I love you.
So think about praise and be open to praise. Don't be afraid of praise.
Thank you, Doug. Barely.
Even cued praise. Anybody have anything else? Okay, now that was all just the stuff. Now give all your money to Barbara. Forget all that other earlier stuff. Just give your money to Barbara. Okay, tell you, big guy.
Come back 100.